You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is a very fired up Sita Begi on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends this morning on AM 1510 on WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We are also heard all over the world on the World Wide Web, and Ellen will tell our listeners how to download our shows, how to listen, where they can find our podcasts, and all the good stuff associated with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Awesome, yes. So on our World Wide Web, we've got our website, that's sitamediainc.com, and you can go to the On Demand tab on that page, or you can very easily go to 1510wwbc.com, and you'll find all the shows on demand there as well. They're all in MP3 format, so real easy to download and real easy to get to. And We're still getting a tremendous amount of downloads, even though our iTunes piece is still not working completely right. But I'm telling you that once it goes back up, I have no doubt that we're going to be right back up into the 2,000 and 3,000 downloads, because people are doing it right off of our website. All these great shows, Sita, and all these fantastic guests that you've been having.
Well, I hope we can get the iTunes piece fixed.
We will.
Fixed.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was, but we'll get that together. So each week, Ellen and I meet here at the studio, and Pastor Paul runs our board. He's been the station manager for a very long time, and we're just grateful to have a voice of reason, to be a voice for the voiceless, and be advocates for just about everything on the earth. We do believe that we are what we eat, breed, and think, don't we?
Yes.
We are, and that's in a nutshell is why
and our
human beings are all
well.
About, you know?
That's right.
So our show today, we have two guests. We have our friend Mark is going to be calling in from, I think he's in Boca Raton, Mark Robbins. He is the founder and managing director of HATS, Humans Against Trafficking. He's got quite an extensive bio, went to Wake Forest University. He has an MBA. He is a financial consultant, a planner. He is an advocate for the LGBTQ community. He also helps people who need assistance with homelessness, and same thing that our sit-down guest is going to be talking about. Yeah. And in studio, we have our friend Angela Bozart. I love it. You know, my Persian friend, her name is Bozart. So, yeah, I have to figure out the right pronunciation for that. So Angela is also here, and Angela is the founder and owner of Changes Recovery Services, an outpatient counseling service right here in Palm Bay, Florida. She's dedicated to making Brevard County a better place by writing positive articles for numerous publications. She's hosted local television shows. She is devoted to making the lives of people right here in Florida better. She's also an advocate for homelessness, domestic violence, and people who are re-entering the community after incarceration. So welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's so nice to have you back. And Ellen, of course, we're going to be talking with Mark in a minute. But before we go to our phone and our call-in guest, Mr. Mark Robbins, I just wanted to touch briefly. You know, we always talk about a topic on the show, something that we think is worthy for Ellen and I to talk about. And one of the things I heard about, Ellen, that I'd like to bring it to the attention of our listeners who tune into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we will be doing a show on the exploitation of the elderly. Because
yes.
I am so very upset this morning. I'm telling you, I was watching news this morning, and they were talking about a guardian who was just noted to be taken over. She was arrested, I guess, over the weekend for taking over $500,000 from an elderly woman she was caring for. You know, we all know that not everyone have loving family members or trusted friends in their lives, people that they could count on when their hearing becomes impaired, their vision becomes impaired, and the human body becomes old and withered, right?
Right.
And that's when you need young people and people with a good heart and soul to go out and help you. And here we're finding out that this is nothing new, that there's a lot of corruption. And so we need to hold people responsible who are guardians, who go to the court system and apply to be a guardian. And we also need transparency from the courts as well. How are we going to fix this problem?
Right.
I mean, how do you fix the human heart and soul from people who get corrupted by money? And it's not just politicians who are corrupted by money. I'm telling you, after watching that piece this morning and watching the exploitation of the elderly, I mean, we are supposed to, as human beings, to take care of the weak, the elderly, the children, be advocates for humanity. And I find of lately, I'm not sure if it's because of social media or what we're seeing on the news.
Well, we see all the scamming.
But there's so much scamming. And yeah. Not just scamming, but there are heartless people out there mm-hmm. that would rather sit in a home with air conditioning or heat in some areas, huge houses, and judge other people without extending a hand to help. And I think that's just so wrong.
Right.
But we can't legislate morality, but we can certainly learn from life experience, from education, and what's going on. All we have to do is open our eyes while we're driving, when we go to the grocery store, how people are dressed, what they're driving, the children, how their children look. And you know people are struggling out there. Mm-hmm. Lend a helping hand.
That's right.
You know, everyone is so excited about the holiday season and Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you know, I see people posting about they're going to be putting up their trees and their lights, but you know, that's not the spirit of the season. The spirit of the season is to actually open your heart and soul and mind and be grateful that you're still alive and give back to your community and give back to people, just like our guests are doing today, Angela Bozort and Mark Robbins.
Yes.
And I know Mark's on the phone, so we're going to have him on our show today to just say hello and tell us a little bit about himself. Mark, are you on the phone with us?
Yes, I am.
I hope you're listening to what we're talking about already. We're fired up and ready to go.
Well, what I can tell you is, you're talking about a vulnerable population, and what I've devoted my life to right now is exposing sex trafficking, corruption, and also trying to provide a lifeline to victims, and ultimately my goal is to change legislation so it's easier to arrest and prosecute sex traffickers.
You're quite the advocate, Mark. You're quite the advocate, and I love it that you do have a voice for the voiceless. I recently read one of your posts where you said that 15-year-old trafficking victims cannot be heard and they don't vote, and so therefore people don't really pay attention to what's going on with them.
I'll give you a staggering stat. If the average 14-year-old that's trafficked, half don't make it to 21. And so basically we're really talking about a genocide, but since it's so secret and underground, and a lot of times it's usually girls, some boys, but since they're not missed a lot of times, there's nobody looking for them. It's a problem that, you know, we don't see. And I live right next to Broward County, and it's absolutely an epidemic.
I know. I've been reading a lot of your posts about, and of course, the whole world knows what happened with the Epstein case and all. But before we go into all the good works that you're doing, tell our listening audience a little bit about who Mark Robbins is.
Well, I had a nice job in finance, and then I was fortunate to retire early, and I guess I'll just explain myself in terms of the trafficking. I have an LGBT child who was given too much attention from...
Hey, Mark, could you just speak up just a little bit? We're having trouble hearing you.
Okay. Is that better?
That's much better. Much better. Thank you.
Okay. What happened was that there's a certain group, I can't give you all the details in a short period of time, but there was a group that was showing a lot of attention to my LGBT daughter, and I didn't know really much about sex trafficking, but there was I was just looking at this organization, and I started to see red flags for sex trafficking. I was kind of researching as I go on, and their model in general is to, which is true of a lot of sex trafficking rings, they were offering surgery to transgender kids from Europe, and they told them, you know, don't bring cash, you know, don't rent a car, we'll pick you up in our van.
Sounds like a Lifetime movie.
Yeah,
it turns out that the surgery that they promised, you know, never happened in most cases. So you have vulnerable kids coming over from Europe or whatnot and thinking they're going to get something, and they don't get it. And as soon as they're picked up at the airport, and none of these kids came with parents, by the way. There's a lot of pictures posted on the website, but it's not too dissimilar to the Asian massage parlors where the girls that work in those places are promised something from China, and they get here, and you know, they end up sleeping in the massage parlor. They have they can't speak English, and so they're sex slaves. And you know, there's just different ways in which to go after vulnerable people. You know, there's a lot of different business models for that, so to speak. But ultimately, it's just going after the most vulnerable, and you know, the ones that most a lot of people aren't looking for.
Yeah, and so you also have a nonprofit called HATS. So tell us about that.
Uh-huh. Well, basically, it's HATS, Humans Against Trafficking, and I started exposing the trafficking ring, and one thing led to another, and I started to I realized that a lot of the nonprofits in Broward County were on the up and up. There's a verse in the Bible.
I think your phone's cutting in and out, Mark, so I'm not sure. Maybe you're moving around. Maybe you have to get to a spot where you can get good reception. Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
Happens to all of us.
So what happened was I have a blog, wbtruth.blogspot.com. WB stands for Wicked Broward. And what happened is I'm doing something that nobody else is really doing. I'm exposing a lot of crooked nonprofits. You'd be surprised, a lot of these nonprofits are actually run by traffickers themselves because they want to appear virtuous, and it's the last place you would ever think to look. And so basically my blog is I'm one of the few people, and I think the only one really in South Florida, who's attacking the, you know, the corruption end of anti-sex trafficking and what's happening in law enforcement. And you know, I've counted at least six crooked nonprofits in Broward County alone, and so that's kind of become my niche.
Yeah, so okay. You allege that you had exposed a sex trafficking ring on your site. Did you have any evidence? I mean, does people just come up to you and talk to you, or do you have that sixth sense where you see things and you say, let me check this out, or people send you information? How what were the red flags, and why is it so difficult for law enforcement to arrest and prosecute these people? I mean, I'm grateful that you're exposing them, but what's to keep back from them?
Well, it's interesting, because when people say evidence, I ask, like, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean, you know, breaking into a trafficking house and filming or taking pictures, or, you know, they'll say, bring us a victim. You know, the law enforcement will say that. Well, how the heck do you bring a victim? So for me, I with this one trafficking ring, I just look at red flags. You know, the fact that they promise, but the surgery that they promise is same day surgery, and they call themselves a recovery center. Well, that's a huge red flag, because obviously there's no recovery for same day surgery. And so basically I looked at them, and I came up with 100 red flags, which would indicate that they're a sex trafficking ring. And so I'm
you know, it's statistically impossible for that many red flags to exist and it not be a sex trafficking.
Yeah, I guess you have to ask questions like, well, is there a follow-up after the surgery? Where will the patient stay? If there's family, are the families allowed to come in? Are they, do they have a hotel accommodations close by? Because a legitimate place will offer all these things if you're coming for same-day surgery, like you say, even if you're coming from out of state or you're coming from a different country. I would think surgery for, you know, for something like that, you would have to have someone at your side.
Well, again, it's they offer. I thought they were legit at first because I thought it was for transgenders, top and bottom surgery. Well, it's just top, okay? It's just breast removal. That's all it is, if it even happens at all. But if you look at their website, they post pictures of their kids, and I looked at YouTube videos, and I honestly didn't see one kid that I saw that looked over, say, 21 years old. And none of them came with parents, so basically they're just preying upon vulnerable kids, and I was frustrated. I don't think, well, I know that the Broward County law enforcement is not on the up and up, and I was talking to one law enforcement person, and it was obviously he did not want to do anything. And the policy in Broward County is basically, you know, if a parent calls in about sex trafficking, just consider it a runaway, and you know we won't be bothered with it. But I will say, and I know we don't have too much time, but I have a very unique solution for the trafficking problem, and that is rather than use ICE to separate kids at the border from their parents, I think that a great idea would be to have ICE. Let's just take an Asian massage parlor as an example. I don't know if people realize, but those are basically retail sex trafficking outlets. The females that work in there are typically from China. They're, you know, promised one thing and they get here and before you know it, they're sex slaves.
But not all the parlors, because
right,
there certainly we all heard about one of the owners from one of the football teams recently,
right.
We heard about, and I mean it does raise red flags in our minds as to what's going on. But
that's the part about being aware, right?
Yeah.
And I want you to reintroduce, so that people know who we're talking to today.
Yes, we're talking with Mark Robbins, and Mark is calling in from Boca Raton, right, Mark? Mark is a financial planner. He's retired. He has a BA from Wake Forest. He has an MBA from Lehigh University. He was a ministerial student at Chicago Theological University. He's an activist, and he also has a nonprofit called HATS, which is Humans Against Trafficking, and he's an advocate. He wants to do great things to help people that are overlooked, that nobody else seems to be paying attention. But Mark, you talk about on your blog, you talk about that the traffickers are getting protection in some cases from law enforcement or from people who just look the other way because it's easier to explain away a child who has run away from home or a child who is missing. Can you elaborate a little bit about that? Because I know...
Well, I can, actually. When you look at the Epstein case with Julie Brown from the Miami Herald, who's the one...
I want to get her on this show one day. I reached out to her, and I'd love to get her on this show one day, Julie Brown.
Well, and her, I guess it was 6 years of investigating. And this is something she wrote in her Miami Herald article. She really had only two law enforcement people that were sympathetic with her cause and actually helped her. One was the Palm Beach police chief, and another was a Palm Beach officer. But that, I mean, that staggered me. It's like she only got help from two law enforcement
people.
Right,
and it took her so many years for someone to pay attention to that, to her articles in the Miami Herald, when she went after Jeffrey Epstein. And boy, what that turned out to be is staggering evidence that people, I mean, they hated, because I suppose the man was not just rich, but he was billionaire rich. And that seems to be something that I think all of us who are getting an education on social media, from the newspapers, the news, from people like you who are doing great things. We all have to pay attention. We say, if you see something, say something. But in that case, nobody actually listened to Julie Brown and what she was talking about.
And also, the see something, say something is an adage that's put out that it's really not true. But you can call a hotline, and if you think there's a trafficking ring going on, they're not sure if it's a hoax or not. But see something, say something is really a dead phrase.
I know. I think people just say it to make themselves feel good. But so you said, yeah. I noticed that you also said on your blog that girls think they're bad and they're afraid to go to the cops. And I think part of that is true because of the mentality that they're being judged. So can you talk to us a little bit about the girls that you've run into that have been victims of human trafficking or potential victims that were afraid?
Well, I have talked to a number of survivors, but you have to realize how young, say a 15-year-old girl who, you know, grew up in a really rough circumstance and maybe ran away or whatever in a bus station. When they're in the trafficking ring, they have, it's like a fish in water, doesn't know it's in water. The foreground of they don't have perspective. They don't know what's normal. Like, their foreground doesn't have a background. We can look at it as older adults and see what's happening, but a lot of these females, they depend on their pimps for, you know, a roof over their head, food and whatnot, and, you know, it's not hard for them over a while to realize that they're trapped, and they perceive that they're into prostitution, so that they're scared to death of going to the police, and then of course ultimately the way the system is set up now, a victim would have to testify against their pimp, which they're scared to death to do,
and the pimps probably have really more money to hire an attorney, whereas the victims don't, and in many cases the victims are probably threatened as well. And
think about what a good defense attorney would do to a 15-year-old girl on the stand who's already had problems in life. They just destroy her.
So where do we go from here? We have a few minutes left. Where do we go from here? Because, like, you know, if a 15-year-old girl or a person even over 15 is in the court in front of a judge, and let's say something happens, we don't have enough shelters in the state of Florida for people even to sleep for a couple of weeks. So people end up going back to the pimps because they have a roof over their head, as you say. So where do we go from here?
In 1 minute, my solution is, let's just use an Asian massage parlor, you know, that's dirty as an example. My solution is to send ICE in and, you know, ask for the female workers' papers and detain them. But when you're detaining a sex worker, you're literally giving her freedom back. And once you detain her and say she doesn't have her papers, which I'm sure she doesn't, then at that point, she's separated from the trafficking. Obviously, she can't go back to the workplace. And you know, the detainment process is giving her freedom back. And then the rules in at least the state of Florida, a trafficking victim at least gets 6 months of safe harbor. And think of the chilling effect this would have on the traffickers, knowing that ICE could come in at any time and question the workers and literally detain them. It would put a chill across the whole industry, which I believe would have a profound impact. But the most important thing is, if you send, say, ICE in to detain somebody, you could do that today. But what's happening is these investigations take like 18 months. While they're investigating, girls are being raped every single day.
Yes, I saw that on your blog, that while you're waiting for the investigation, it's happening, it's occurring over and over again, the rapes of these girls.
Yeah, how does that affect you?
So you started a new project, and you're hoping to win some hearts and minds and maybe get some politicians to pay attention. You started the Teddy Bear Truck. And your goal is to bring some awareness to the candidates who are running for sheriff, state attorney, and others, and so that they could listen to what you have to say and the advocacy that you're doing for human trafficking. So tell us a little bit about these cute little teddy bears.
Well, what I did was, I'll be honest, I decided that exposing corruption is not fun. It's kind of dangerous. It's a little bit depressing. And I just figured if I'm going to stay in the movement, I have to add a little, enjoyment to it. So I put together this teddy bear truck. There's, it's almost cartoonish. There's like a toy mountain of stuffed animals. And I just want, I'm just going to ride around A1A, US1, and people can't miss it. I have a toll-free number and my website on the side of the truck, and we're going to have music and speakers and just create as much awareness as possible, and hopefully over a while I'll get somewhat of a following. People will know who I am, and if I get somewhat of a following, then I have something to offer candidates next year. And I can push sex trafficking onto people's platforms, because to be honest, if you look at people's, they'll talk about school safety, they'll talk about other stuff. Sex trafficking is not even on the radar screen for a lot of candidates. So
yes,
I want to use.
Well, we appreciate that you're trying to bring awareness to that, because some people, some nonprofits do scam for money because they pull at people's heartstrings and. They say Satan masquerades as an angel of light, meaning that some traffickers are feigning to be nonprofit supporters for their own nonprofits, and they're just using people, pretending that they care. So I think it's great that you're doing that. So you also said that no one else is doing it. How can you get more people involved in what you're doing? Do you have a website? Do you have a book? With the remaining minute and a half, tell us if your website and the name of your book, so people can look it up and join your movement and be part of the advocacy and awareness for what you're doing to help victims of human trafficking.
I don't have a book, but I have under Mark Robbins. I have a big Facebook presence, and I'm going to end up, with all the different, Instagram and whatnot. But I just my goal right now is to get this truck on the road. Generate as much awareness as possible, and take it from there. I've been at this for 2 years, and I'll be honest, the first year when I exposed the one sex trafficking ring, nobody believed me. But I've definitely reached an inflection point where people are now taking me seriously, and so my goal is to create as much awareness as possible, and 5-6 months down the road, I'll be better known, and I'll have more access to candidates, and hopefully we can get things to happen on that front.
Well, Mark Robbins, we respect what you're doing. I think every human being who is on this planet has the potential to find their purpose in life and do something for humanity and for other people. And you're retired from your business world and financial planning and all the great things you did, and you're giving back. So thank you so much.
I don't have to be doing this. I could just play golf.
Depends on how good your golf game is.
I can tell. I read your blog, and that's what I said.
Because you're really good at this.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
We've posted everything on our Facebook page that you heard from Mark Robbins today about HAT, Humans Against Traffic, and all of his information. We're going to be right back after hearing
from our sponsors
with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well. And delivery and haul away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores, and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on WWBC AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We are also live on the web all over the world. People can listen in. They don't have to wait till the podcast unless they want to. You could listen right when the show is live on air. And we had a really robust segment just now with Mr. Mark Robbins, who really and truly, by all accord, does not have to be out in his little truck with the teddy bears looking out to bring awareness to what's happening with victims who are human trafficked. He's doing it, and we applaud him for that. We need more Mark Robbins around, people to do things for others without thinking about themselves, right?
That's what we've always said on the show. Just pick something. Be a part of it. Make a change. Be the change you wish to see in the world. Right?
Well, you know, our show has always been very fun and unscripted. What you hear is it comes from the heart.
Yes.
It's not scripted in that we don't say something that we don't mean. And we say all the time on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends that we give invaluable information to the public, whether it's about voting, opening a business, finding your purpose in life, whatever it is, there's room for everyone to do something. Mm-hmm. And I just posted this really wonderful article about volunteering. And then I posted something about nonprofits and the salaries that people receive. And I think everyone should read that. But now we've got to talk about another terrific person. Our friend Angela Bossert is here. And she, did I say it correct?
No, you did.
Yeah. Right.
Very good.
Right. And she's here to speak about what the great thing she's doing as the owner and founder of Changes Recovery Services. She does outpatient services, counseling. She writes. You're also an author, aren't you? Yes, you are. And so, and she's looking great in her red sweater, red jacket, sweater, and Ellen and I are here. I'm telling you, with the weather changing, we're getting a chance to pretend we live
boots,
up north.
I know, boots and long
yeah,
sleeves.
Yeah, so Angela, welcome to the show. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. It's so nice to have somebody in person. It's so much better,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me back. I have been a substance abuse counselor here in Brevard County for 2 decades. I have enjoyed working here in Brevard County and working with populations who are struggling, and those populations are substance abuse, domestic violence, as we were talking about on the break. For the past couple of years, I've worked with the homeless population, with the Homeless Coalition, and most recently, I've kind of switched over to the Reentry Center of Brevard. That is a new project, although I have been on the Brevard Reentry Task Force for the past couple of years. And so this is something that I've looking forward to, since that's my background. I do have a degree in criminal justice administration, and so working to help people who are coming back to our community.
Give them a break, a second chance.
Yes. Yeah, because
how did you fall into this type of work? Of course, you have a background in criminal justice, but you do so much more than just that. You're like the social worker for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
you do a lot of social services for everyone.
Well, you know, I've told different people at different times that it depends. I tend to work around the same people. And for the 20 years that I've worked here in Brevard County, I've met sometimes the same clients just at different agencies that I've worked at. Sometimes I've joked that it just depends on what tent they're in at any given time, because sometimes people who struggle with substance abuse, they may struggle with homelessness at a different time, or maybe they're struggling with mental illness at a different time, or maybe they've been incarcerated. So sometimes you're struggling with different issues, and they fall under the large social services umbrella.
Yeah. And you know, you tend to think like we all want to save the world. We want to make sure everybody has food, water, shelter, right? But it doesn't, in reality, doesn't happen. But I mean, what causes so many of our people here in Brevard County, Florida, to become homeless, to become addicted? I mean, where is the family structure that all of us long to see, and the trusted friends and the community of love and support? Where, I mean, I know it's there, but still, we need to do more.
Well, I think you just hit a lot of it on the head right there. We are a very transient community. A lot of people that are in Florida, myself included, we're not from here. And so if you think about maybe from where you're from, I know I'm originally from Southern Kentucky. And when I think of the community that I grew up in, I knew everybody. And I was related to most everybody that I knew. And so you have that connection. And I know I've talked a lot about, whenever I've been working with clients, one of the best predictors of success or failure is your support system, or lack thereof. And here we don't know a lot of the people. You know, do we know our neighbors, the people that live around us? How well do we know the people that we work with? I mean, we tend to be transient by nature. We don't stay at jobs as long as we once did. You know, the people that we go to church with, like I said before, the church I grew up in, I was related to most of them. My ancestors started that church. I mean, you know, so and I'm not unique.
That
tends to be, you know, the people that wherever we came from, that was probably the way a lot of us grew up.
Yeah. Like our village back in Trinidad is.
Sure. The village.
Yeah, it is.
Here,
it is.
Not
but
that
we
way.
We move around so much and we lose that village feel. But I think a lot of people are going back to that too. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what do you recommend for families when they come to you for help because their loved ones are addicted?
Well, I mean, that's a huge issue because, of course, the opioid crisis has been this humongous issue that has taken up so much of the conversation here as a problem that is usually one of the top 5 issues that politicians discuss now as such a major issue. But to bring it down to a family problem, because basically it tears families apart.
Right.
You know, if it's something, it can't be really discussed in like a little a pat answer. But if I had to just put it into like try to simplify something that isn't simple. It's don't give them control of the family. Take back control of your family. Because if you let somebody who is out of control continue to control the family, you're all out of control. Try to seek out help for yourself.
Yeah, because so many families are losing family members.
Oh, yes.
It's not just one person in a family sometimes. It's quite. It's more.
Oh, yes. I've known families to where they have lost more than one child. And to me, that is heartbreaking and unimaginable to just lose one child to addiction. But to lose more than one is just unimaginable, especially in 2019. We think we have the answers to things, and the numbers that came out in the past year, I think it was 70,000 people died of opioid overdoses in this past, and a lot of that, let's get straight, it wasn't just prescription
right.
drugs, it's fentanyl,
anti-anxiety
and
drugs,
and heroin,
psychotropic drug, right. Yeah, because we just saw one of the family from the Kennedys died from a drug overdose. I think that was a final, I forgot what her name was. But do you think, I mean, as a country, are we making progress with the opioid crisis?
Well, I think that it's going to take time before we see any kind of real success. Because initially, I think what we tried to do maybe is kind of legislate problems. And I want to back up and this originally back in I think it was 2012 there was here in Florida passed the centralized database here in Florida, and we thought maybe not me personally, I was afraid this would happen, and it did. We didn't see the numbers go down of overdose deaths. We've seen them go up. Because what you'll see is you can't legislate your way out of a problem
right.
like this.
They'll find it.
Well, the numbers have
yeah.
gone up.
Yeah.
Because at least when they were, and I'm not pro opioids, but what happened was at least when they were using the prescription drugs, they knew what they were using. Then when they went back to the streets to begin using illicit drugs, now they don't know what they're getting. And they're getting illicit fentanyl. And heroin
anything,
that is coming from
anything
Mexico
to numb the
wherever.
Pain, yeah. the anxiety, and take them
right.
away. It's very sad because we had Anthony Garcia on our show before, and he talked about Narcan.
Yes,
and
I took his class. I cannot say enough good things about
and,
it.
And,
awesome.
And it's almost like so many people are walking around, and they're lonely and they're fearful, and mm-hmm. they've been shown. A lot of hatred or maybe their family don't want them around for a reason, or friends. And it's like people are really hurting out there. And it's not just physical pain. It's mm-hmm. emotional pain as well, financial pain, whatever it is. And I don't know as a society what we can do for them. But I do believe Mr. Garcia with the class on Narcan has given mm-hmm. all of us a way out to bring people back, because we can save lives.
Absolutely.
And we talked about that on the show when he came on, and all the people that he comes in contact with.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I do a class down at Mosaic Church in Palm Bay on Wednesday nights at 6:00, free of charge for people struggling with addiction. And starting the beginning of December, I'll be doing a class following that class at 7:00. And I hope to be offering a class on Narcan, and Volunteers of America, a nonprofit organization here in Cocoa, was kind enough to provide me with Narcan to provide that for the class. So that will be coming up within the next month for the families, because it's so important. And again, anybody who Mr. Garza, who provides such a wonderful class, the states who have been so proactive,
we've seen tremendous
success.
But how do you give a family?
Loved ones,
how do you give a family who's struggling hope? What do you say to that? I mean, I would think you could sit down and do one-on-one and you try to show people the light, show them the way, bring them back with love and support and education and all. But how do you, Angela, struggle? How do you face these struggles? It's so challenging to give up this hope.
It is a struggle. You know, just letting them know that, you know, they didn't cause it and they can't cure it. There was a term. I grew up in a family of addiction. My father was an alcoholic, and he ultimately died of his addiction. And we don't have power over it, but we can detach with love. And I know it's easy to just say these things flippantly, but we can mean them and know that I love this person unconditionally, but I'm not going to let them and their addiction control me and my life. Try to get into some kind of find some kind of support.
Group therapy, yes.
Whatever that is. Yeah. I know I went to Al-Anon and Adult Children of Alcoholics when I was younger. There are programs out there. And ultimately find some kind of peace however it goes. Because you can have some degree of peace. But, of course, it is, I won't even begin to act like that I
have all the answers. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So now the holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving is coming up and Christmas is coming up. And some people really avoid the crazy uncle. And
yes.
Some people avoid the crazy aunt.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people who are actually hurting because someone they loved passed away, a child, a parent, a good friend. What kind of advice can we give, I mean, for people who are suffering at this time?
A lot of times when you're grieving, the first thought would be to isolate. That's usually not, you don't want to isolate because oftentimes that makes depression worse. Of course, if you're having really dark thoughts, please reach out, Brevard 211. You can work through whatever dark thoughts that you have. There is hope. And also, there are wonderful people here in Brevard County that do a wonderful job of helping us work through our grief. And grief is a process, and everybody works through it at their own time and in their own space. None of us, a professional or whatever, can tell you that you should get through it at a certain
time.
Right?
I don't think you ever get over losing a child either.
No,
and I think that's something we shouldn't say. But I know Ellen plays music,
mm-hmm.
and you probably have a lot of people that would come, even if they come by themselves, to listen to music.
Yes.
Right.
And it's free.
And actually, we go to assisted living facilities, and we go to places, even if we don't get paid. We've got a little group, a little band that we go and
you bring happiness to
try
people.
And bring happiness,
right.
Even if it's for an hour, you know, because hopefully they hold on to that hour, they hold on to that feeling for a while. And around the holidays, it's a little more important, but we do it all year round. We do.
And that's the way it should be.
It is.
And, you know, sometimes I know when my father passed away, it was the week, it was right before my birthday. And some people are uncomfortable with grief. We here in America, often we're uncomfortable with death, with grieving. Even if you're not comfortable maybe with what to say, maybe just I know the people I was working with at the time, they sent me this beautiful plant, and I kept it for years.
Because it meant something.
Yes.
Somebody cared,
and
right?
And a card. Even just letting someone know that you're thinking
about
them.
Oh, don't
get
me started on cards. I don't know what has happened to a generation that someone can't take the time to buy a 50-cent card and send it to a relative, a sister, a brother, a sibling, someone who lost someone. It's
right.
50 cents and you put a stamp on it and it means so much to that
and
person.
It does. Because people, letting someone know that you care. And just speaking of this, I know I would like to dedicate this to this wonderful lady who was ahead of her time. She recently passed away, Cheryl Letzkus McGinnis.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote a book back in 2006. She expressed her grief of the loss of her son, Scott, to an overdose by writing this wonderful book called I Am Your Disease, The Many Faces of Addiction, along with Haiku Ganner. And what she did was...
Sounds like Dr. Barlow. She also talked about her son.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
She gathered over 150 stories of other parents who had lost their children. And this, again, remember, was in 2006, pretty early in the opioid crisis. And that's how she grieved. And I had her come to many of my classes that I've taught over the years here in Brevard County. And she shared her grief with others.
With others. And it makes a difference when people in a circle or however they want to say. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Angela Bozord. She is a certified substance abuse counselor here in Florida. And you're also certified in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Cool. And she's also a member of the American Counseling Association. You also have, you're the owner of Changes Recovery Services as well. So here, you know, in addition to helping people with the opioid crisis and whatever, when counseling them, you also help with the homelessness situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so now that the holidays is coming up, what are some of the things we should be looking out for that we can help someone who's homeless? I mean, people living in their cars and people bathing in the gyms. You know, we see a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Well, 211 Brevard, they are a wonderful resource. The Brevard Homeless Coalition has at least around 20 or so agencies that work diligently to provide services throughout Brevard County. We work diligently to provide services, whether they're families, to individuals, however, because there are so many people that you don't even realize, whether they're doubled up on someone's couch, whether they're in the woods. The number would stagger you, I know.
And what is it, 300,000 families moving into Florida every year? I read an article yesterday. I was like, where are we going to put all these people?
Right.
And the infrastructure, the congestion, the environmental concerns, the schools, the teach. I mean, what are we going to do?
And
we don't have enough housing.
Now they're calling it urban camping. I mean, I don't know if you're realizing this, but there's a lot of people that are living, working people, working two and three jobs, living in their cars. In parking lots. And
yes.
There's people that are, there's businesses and churches that are opening up their parking lots to allow people to so that they're
to be
not,
safe.
So that they're safe and that they're not harassed by the police so that they can.
I think the police stations do have pretty good parking lots. Maybe
and
they
then
ought
they
to give some of their parking lots up
but
too.
But these places will open up their restrooms for them and to be able to, you know, provide some kind of facility for them to be able to take care of their families.
Well, you know what's, you know.
So it's not just people that aren't working.
Right.
You know, it's
most
not just people
clients,
are addicted.
Yes,
you know?
Most of my clients had jobs. That is the biggest misnomer is that people who are homeless are lazy bums that don't want to go out and get a job.
Right.
A lot of them have jobs and they are quietly they're staying.
Suffering in silence.
Place.
A lot
yes.
of people have jobs.
Some of the people
and
are living in the parking lot of where they work.
Yes,
like Walmart because they don't pay enough.
But you know what gets me? Like I have a one of my residents that watches this Joel Osteen fella all the time, mm-hmm. and he's got such a beautiful church with beautiful facility. And then they'll switch all day. It's a Christian channel network, and some of the verses are really nice, and I like listening to it. But you see these people who are well dressed in these beautiful churches, but yet still none of them offers their parking lot for the homeless, the sick, the needy, the children. I often wonder, how do you take people's money but you don't give back in that way? And they don't pay taxes either.
I'm glad you brought up the churches. I can't say enough good things about our faith-based communities here in Brevard County. I know for the past 2 years, especially for instance this past summer, whenever it would rain, a lot of the people on my caseload, their tents and everything they had, they would lose it in just one bad storm in one night. And I would reach out to Faith in Action or some of the other groups, and they would work together, and within a matter of days, they would supply me with tents, with sleeping bags.
And food.
So many
yes,
supplies.
Yes.
Yes. So there are a lot of good people here in Brevard County that whose hearts are in the right places.
Right. But I'm happy to hear, Ellen, that the ones who are working in a certain place are also allowed to leave their cars there because the statistics is staggering here in Brevard for how many people are homeless and children who don't have an address.
Right.
Going to school.
I think it's Jupiter Elementary,
and I
right?
see
is
you're
the biggest one in Brevard County.
Yeah, you're shaking your head.
Right?
So, yeah, well, what do we, how, I mean, how do we raise children who are in these circumstances to have a psychological state in school. It's hard. It's so challenging for these kids and their parents.
The stat, I remember attending the monthly meetings for the coalition. I don't want to give a wrong stat, but it was between 1,500 and 2,000 students were homeless attending Brevard County.
Right.
That's staggering.
Staggering. And you're also, I mean, we have a few minutes left. I wanted to touch on this because you're also working on helping people who've been incarcerated. Mm-hmm. When they come back into society, they need a job. They need a place to stay, somehow to pay their utilities. And we, as we all know, affordable housing is a thing of the past here in Brevard and Orlando. My God, all over the United States, we're talking about it. What are you doing to help these people? And if someone wanted to reach out to you, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, actually, this is a grant that we were fortunate enough, Pastor Jarvis Walsh and Susan Kowalski, they worked diligently to secure this grant here in Brevard County. And we look forward to serving the people here in Brevard County who will be coming back to Brevard County. This isn't for people that maybe
only
were
here.
Sent somewhere
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
They are Brevard Countyans who are coming back here.
Mm-hmm.
And the places who have tried this in other areas, West Palm Beach and Jacksonville, have had tremendous success, because we have to remember, these people are coming back here anyway. They are Brevard County, former Brevard County residents. And so we want to help them get a good, you know, we want them to succeed.
Right.
Because when they succeed, we all succeed, because they are a member of our community.
Well, isn't that what we all talk about? Is we talk about second chances and
right.
forgiveness
right.
and faith and family and community support. And once someone has paid their time, I think it's only fair. Of course, I'm not saying like a murderer or a person who consistently raped children or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But we're saying that someone committed a crime and they're coming back and they have children here and they have a wife and family and friends. I think it's wonderful to give them that direction. They just need guidance and direction,
a lot of
mentors.
More crimes against themselves, too. There's so many people that are locked up for opioids and for drug
non-violent
cases and non-violent stuff. So it is important that we give them a second
So
chance.
Give us your phone number and your website or how someone could contact you. You're doing some wonderful work.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I hope everybody should be doing something like you.
You're very kind. Thank you for, thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
So you have a website or anything, a phone number?
Yes. Well, I'll put that. You can post that. But you can contact me by my email, which is AngelaBozarth50@gmail.com, or my phone number, 321-506-2765.
That's awesome. Another fantastic edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. I'm sure we'll have two more great guests, just like we do every week for the last 8 years. Sita, thank you so much for all the work that you
do. I have a lot of people that want to come on, but sadly, we need sponsors for them. And our sponsors could only pay for so much. But there are a lot of people that are doing great things all over the United States that would like to call in right here in Cocoa, Florida.
Amen.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
And you're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, FM 94.7.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.